Hello, everybody. My name is Mamun, and this is Mamun's Gadget Talk for Wednesday, 30th of September, 2020. One thing I'll quickly say this, so we haven't covered the Google event that's happening today. That'll be in tomorrow's episode. So if you're listening this now to hear about the Google event, wait till tomorrow, wait for tomorrow's episode, and then we'll talk about the Google event in general. But aside from that, we have plenty to talk about. Actually, what kind of happened is that So last week, I think on it was on Wednesday or Thursday, I kind of got sick. I mean, I don't know what happened. I'm sure it was one of my cousins who carried the cold or something. Oh well, that we're well past that. So let's get right into the show. Okay, just for those, if you're noticing some noise in the back, is this because the fan is on and the fan basically when it spins, you know, the motor just starts to rattle and shake. So bear with me on that one. I mean, we got to make do with what we have. So we'll figure it out. So let's jump straight into the podcast with our first gadget, really, that was announced, the Galaxy S20 FE. So I think around this time last week, Samsung announced a brand new device called the Galaxy S20 Fan Edition, for the fans, obviously, the fans who keep buying Samsung's phones and making them richer and stuff. So it's sort of like a thank you. They released a brand new S20 FE, which is sort of this kind of competitively priced smartphone. And the thing is that obviously Samsung's high-end phones are getting obviously more expensive year by year and have already hit the $1,000 mark, asking. It's kind of ironic that Apple was the one who started the $1,000 trend. Now everyone's selling $1,000 plus phones. That's kind of expected, obviously, when you add up the spec sheet for these products. And now you have the S20 Fan Edition, which essentially is a much more affordable version. It's basically for those couple of Samsung folks who want a new good Samsung phone and really good Samsung phone. Like, it's packed to the brim with really good features and stuff. But they don't want to pay an arm and a leg and a kidney for it, or thousands of dollars for it, like they probably want for the Note 20 and stuff. So it's pretty interesting what we have here with the S20 Fan Edition. As for specs, we have a 6.5-inch, 2400 by 1080 AMOLED display, 120Hz refresh rate. This is the important distinction. I think this is what makes this phone a really good value for money, is the processor, because really, I think what makes Android good is the processor, really. It makes your gaming better, it makes your social media, you know, your experience with Snapchat, Instagram stories and stuff much, much better. And so, yeah, in processor kind of is sort of important. And the thing is, Android really is all about raw horsepower. If you've got ultra-fast performance, then that's more than enough. And really, it's not super ultra-optimized like iOS or iPhone. So you really have to look at the raw spec sheet. It's like a car, you know. If the engine is more than capable to drive to take you 100 kilometers at least, then go get that car, really. It's not like they've tightly optimized the nuts and bolts of the engine to make it go 200 miles when it can actually do 100. So it's a bit like that, really. I would give the analogy for, you know, it's easy to compare cars with phones because they really are the same utilitarian products. Anyways, I digress. So If you buy the 5G variant, assuming you're in a market that sells the 5G variant, you get the Snapdragon 865, which I think would make a phenomenally good value for money. And then for the 4G variant, you'd pretty much have an Exynos 990. It's good, you know, it's what's used on the Ultra, Note 20 and S20 Ultra, but no big deal. It's not like you're not getting much, really. Aside from that, what you do lose out on the Fan Edition, they gotta save money down the road. It's not that they can offer everything at $700. And did I forget to say this? It's $699 in the US for the base model starting. And from there, obviously, it's $700 to $800, which will compete with the iPhone at 11 and the upcoming iPhone 12 and OnePlus 8 and a lot of options on the market that are coming out at that price range and probably the upcoming Google Pixel 5. Now, you miss out, what you do get in performance and display and all that good stuff, you lose out on the camera. The S20 FE just comes with a 12 megapixel standard sensor, a 12 megapixel ultrawide sensor, and an 8 megapixel 3x telephoto zoom lens. Telephoto, that's interesting. So, Mainly zoom, you get 30 times space zoom, which is hybrid 30 times zoom. I don't know what it is in optical zoom. It's probably just a couple of 5x optical zoom, but it'd probably be decent for the price. Aside from that, you get 4,500 milliamp hour battery, 128 gigabytes of storage out of the gate, 6 gigabytes of RAM out of the gate. I mean, it's the base tier really. And a 32 megapixel selfie camera, really. This is for those, it's for good for social media and vlogging and all that good stuff if you're into, and selfies, obviously. These are the fan editions for, mainly I'd suspect and say the S20 FE really is fan edition. This is for the younger audience, for the tech savvy, digital first, digital native, social media generation, influencer generation, really. You've lived with a computer, you're born, you woke up into the world like me, you know, 90s kid, 2000s kid, and you're born into the world and you got a computer in your hand. You didn't get into a computer, you're just born with a computer, that kind. So it's kind of a digital tech savvy, I don't know, young and obviously tech and social media savvy smartphone, really, in that regard, to be honest. So the specs are built like that. With a greater emphasis on performance, faster display, more storage. You don't really get more storage, but you get good enough storage for compared to the competition. And in-screen fingerprint, USB-C, you get 30 watt fast charging and 15 watt fast charging. Did I forget to mention? You got fast charge, wireless charging out of the gate. You don't see that in other competing for. I mean, okay, the OnePlus now offers wireless charging to an extent. So that's something to point out, but it's a good value for money, I mean, for what it is. And it's basically starting $700 for the you can get the S20 fan edition for $600 for 4G $700 starting. And if you're in the UK, you can get this for £600 or £700 for the 5G version. And if you live in the Gulf, if you live in GCC countries, you live in Saudi Arabia, the UAE, Bahrain, in those countries, shout out to my homies in Bahrain, you can get it from 2,500 dirhams or 250 BD. And in the 5G variant is basically 200 dirhams extra or 220 BD extra. So it's basically 270 BD for the 5G variant or 2,700 dirhams for the 5G version. Prices may vary, obviously taxes included and stuff. If you live in the GCC, you get a good pre-order. You get a good pre-order offer, and you can get Galaxy Buds Plus, which is really awesome. So that's good value. So that makes the phone roughly 600 dollars ish. So it's a good value for money by that standard, if you calculate it that way. So the phone's available for pre-order already, and you can get on October 2nd, so basically this Friday, hopefully. Let me see. More silence there. This Friday, you'll be able to get the S20 FE all over the world, which is kind of awesome. So that was the S20 FE. Switching up to Never Settle game, if you're a Never Settle fanboy. Yeah, we're talking about OnePlus. OnePlus, they're launching the OnePlus 8T on October 14th, and there's a lot to talk about OnePlus. Obviously, a lot has been reported about the OnePlus 8T. It's already confirmed that there's gonna be 120Hz OnePlus 8T variant. There'll also the OnePlus Nord series. There'll be another OnePlus Nord phone coming out with the 8T, hopefully, and this time with the OnePlus Nord, there'll probably be a phone targeted for the US market, which finally would be a good thing. Apparently, according to famous leaker Shyam Agarwal, he wrote this. This came out 2 days ago. Too bad, I'm now reporting this out. Now, he kind of wrote a tweet that we're pretty much expecting a lot of OnePlus stuff to launch, and not just the OnePlus 8T, especially for India. India is a massive market for OnePlus, and that probably means they have a lot of speakers, wearables, TVs, full lineup of gear ready. Like 8T plus almost 5 in total. You won't be able to guess one of these, at least. It hasn't leaked or hasn't been mentioned anywhere, I guess. And then he went on to tweet again, base. which basically means another speaker or TWS headphones, hopefully. I'm expecting that they're going to have something like that on launch. But also, they'll probably have another OnePlus Nord series phone to launch eventually, which is pretty awesome. But that's not really the story of today. OnePlus CEO Carl Pei confirmed on his Weibo account that there's no OnePlus 8T Pro, pretty much. There's just going to be the 8T this year, which is interesting. Basically wrote this as translated from Chinese. There's no 8T Pro this year. Users who like pro-level products can continue to choose OnePlus 8 Pro, the annual Machine King. This is in Chinese. Probably have a very sophisticated name for that. Our plan for it is itself defined in a direction where there's no room for upgrade. 8T is also a surprise worth the wait, with a hearty smile, with a heart emoji. And people have shared it quite a lot on Weibo. So basically, this is the real deal, pretty much. No OnePlus 8 T Pro. I mean, I don't know about you. Were you excited for your 8 T Pro? Were you wanting an 8 T Pro? I mean, it's all right. You can get the 8 Pro. It's a good phone on its own. And also, let's face it, we've kind of heard that the 8 T won't really be even be getting the 865 Plus. So that's something to add here, or the 865G. So that's interesting. But for what you do lose out with an 8T Pro, the 8T itself, the main phone, will come with 120Hz display, 4,500mAh battery, faster wired charging. This could basically beat the S20 FE right there, neck and neck with the competition. So that's something to talk about. That's something noteworthy. Pretty much, OnePluses are really good in front of, say, Samsungs and stuff. So, I mean, if you really are tight on a budget and you don't want a Samsung really, or you're done with Samsung, you get a OnePlus. It's a good value for money, especially the 8 Pro. Now the 8 Pro really, there's no 8T Pro coming out to cannibalize it. So the 8 Pro is a good value more than ever. They probably have, and obviously Black Friday is happening, and Amazon's doing its Prime Day on the 13th and 14th of October, so there'll probably be a good sale for the 8 Pro, so do check it out if you're in the market for a decent high-end phone and you want to pay $1,000. So that's that. Oh yeah, and while we're at it, I mean, when I was talking about you last week, sort of also, Amazon really announced new devices, sort of a new lineup of Echo and Ring devices, and they're really cool though. All new Echo Dot and Echo speakers. Look at Orb, or if you're old enough, if you're probably way too old to have gadgets, you'll probably remember the Nexus Q that never came out. The little Orb speaker from Google, or like basically can play stuff from places, but it never got released because it wasn't properly supported. It's like that, but it's like a whole speaker with like fabric and stuff. So, and also a new Echo Show 10, which where the screen kind of tilts based on where your head is going, based on algorithms, and like all the Echo speakers like got a new chipset, so it can do much faster voice recognition, which is interesting, pretty much. So that's very interesting. The Echo speakers though that I know of, they're coming in November. They're based on what I've seen on Amazon. So yeah, I mean, wait till Black Friday for those. But aside from that, Xiaomi, just Xiaomi's new high-end phones, the Mi 10T and the Mi 10T Pro, have been leaked fully. We have renders of both phones. They look pretty elegant, a little bit like the Vivo X50 Pro that we just talked about recently, a few episodes ago. If you remember that, it looks a little like that with the camera layout in the back. But more so, the spec sheet. These obviously monster high-end phones. Okay, the Mi 10 Ultra was pretty high-end out of the gate. So, with that, the Mi 10 Ultra did 100... We've talked about it a few episodes ago, one of our most listened to episodes. 120Hz display, 120 watts fast charging. And And I think in 100 and something, it was, and a pretty massive camera sensor. I've kind of forgot, it's been a while. But the Mi 10T and T10T Pro both will have a 6.6 set, will basically have 6.67 inch displays with a punch hole on the left side. The T series, as it's called, will come with IPS displays instead of OLED, which means it could be a bit affordable if they only have LCD displays. Both devices will have 144Hz displays. 33 watt fast charging was a little lower than the 10 series and the 10 Ultra. 5000 mAh battery. The Snapdragon 865, okay, kind of basic. But obviously, the Mi 10 T, you get a 65 megapixel camera, 13 megapixel ultra wide, 5 megapixel macro lens. Why do we have macro lens still? I still don't get it. What's the use of, aside from flower shots? 20 megapixel selfie camera is also on the Mi 10 T Pro. That's gonna be quite a mouthful to say. T10T Pro, that has a 20 megapixel selfie camera also. But on the Pro, you get 108 megapixel ultimate optical image stabilization. Front sensor, which is back sensor, main sensor, so quite a mouthful, the name itself. You get 8 gigabytes of RAM and 120 gigabytes of storage. Again, it's a little bit like the S20 FE, but it's probably a little better, and obviously would cost $100 less at least, or just as much as the S20 FE. And you get plenty of you don't get headphone jacks, but what you do get is USB-C, dual SIM, 5 GHz Wi-Fi out of the gate, 4x4 multi-input, multi-output Wi-Fi, NFC, Bluetooth 5.1, you get it, full bells and whistles. Yes, it's apparently it's rumored to cost the Mi 10T, this is quite a mouthful, the 10T Pro would cost 700 euros, and obviously the 10T before it will probably cost 599, so it'll be 700, 800 respectively. So it'd be neck and neck with the S20 FE, which is interesting. And but the name is quite a mouthful. Mi 10T. Okay, thank God I don't sell phones for a living. That would pretty much be quite a mouthful out of the gate. So according to VinFuture, and they've been leaking a lot of things recently, the Mi 10, the 10T will cost 499 euros starting. The 10T Pro could cost 599, and the 256 gigabyte model could be 649. So very competitive with the Samsungs and the OnePlus. Really, not bad for the fourth biggest smartphone brand in the world. So quite competitive in price. I mean, they say if the price is right, then people buy it in the millions. That's the thing with smartphones. It's quite aggressive out there. It's aggressive world out there. I mean, have fancy specs, but if you're not cost good enough, when people go out to buy, then, I mean, no matter how much you try, no one's going to go out and buy it. So, that's an interesting introspection that I probably have to bring up. So, that's that. Oh, I really have to butt in and just kind of note that if you are hearing background noise, these are external conditions I cannot control. People whistling in the back and fans spinning like crazy when it likes to. So that's that, really. That's something to note of. So, I mean, if you are kind of curious. But aside from that, that was the Mi 10T and 10T Pro. That's really good, really, really good device. And then we have another device, this time a tablet, the Galaxy Tab Active 3, a new rugged tablet. If you've probably been using Samsung's rugged tablets, and there's now finally a brand new one that you can run out and buy, or you can convince your boss to buy one, because probably these tablets are quite popular in the corporate world, and Samsung sells like bananas in the corporate world because trust issues with Huawei and stuff. Oh well, it happens. The Galaxy Active Tab 3 is this really cool new tablet. It's got a Exynos 9810 Pro chipset, 4 gigabytes of RAM, 128 gigabytes of storage. You got GPS, I don't know if that's a big deal really. Wi-Fi 6, NFC. You get a 30 megapixel back camera, 5 megapixel selfie camera. Already will come with Android 10. And you have USB-C port, and a 5,050 milliamp hour battery. But here, that's not the interesting thing about the battery. It's not that big, really, but more interesting is that, get this, this is what makes it unique. You can take out the battery completely, and you can change it out and stuff, but if you don't have a battery, you can just plug through the USB-C port and just run it from a USB-C wall. You can run the tablet using a USB-C wall plug. How freaking cool. This is great for business deployments. You know, you already have the tablet at the office for as a kind of e-form and for POS and payments, and you know, you say you already are doing Paytm or Alipay, or you know, you know a lot of retailers and small businesses, they want to do their cloud POS or they're using payment services and they need your restaurant, you're a food delivery app. They send orders to you using a tablet, and so you don't really need to have a battery, and don't need to charge it. You just plug it into the USB-C and you can just run it right away. You don't have to worry about it, so it's good for business uses because that's what this tablet is designed for. It's not for babies throwing it around watching YouTube. But if you don't use it for corporate uses, it's also good for regular use because it's quite a beast. It has a rubberized shell all over it and a very basic display. It's quite rugged. Basically, the shell is compliant with MIL-STD-810H standard. So it can handle drops of 1.5 meters, an IP68 water and dust resistance, along with an S Pen that can handle IP68 water and dust resistance. Aside from that, really, it's just a regular HD display. But aside from that, good for business, primarily business use. If you're a retailer, you have your cloud POS solution, you're running mobile payment services, or you're handling delivery orders and they give you a tablet to do the to run orders from, or you as a business decide to buy a tablet to obviously handle those apps, you know, so you're handling orders from those apps and services, or offering payments or doing payments. This tablet is quite rugged and really good. It can handle a lot of splashes and dust and stuff, and can run without a battery, which is really nice. A little like a laptop, which is pretty interesting. So, I mean, if you are in the corporate world, I mean, I recommend it if you're in the corporate world, really. I mean, because there's the iPads and there's the super cheap smartphones, and then there's this. I don't know how much it costs. There's no word on pricing. It will launch in Europe and Asia, so if you're in those regions, definitely look to this if you're interested. Nice tablet for business, though. Good for cloud POS and payments and delivery and stuff if you want to do that stuff. If a computer can't do it for you, this is a good product. Solid option, really. I mean, if you're curious. And finally, Xiaomi back at it. This time with their TVs. I mean, a few weeks back, I talked about Xiaomi's transparent TV, which is really cool. It's really cool transparent TV. I see videos of it, and it's really, really awesome because essentially, you know, TV is transparent and, you know, it beams kind of, it's like a transparent OLED display. This time, back at it with another set of premium TVs, like pushing the innovation range. I mean, they sell cheap products, but that doesn't mean they can innovate. They can't innovate on a budget. They could offer premium products also on the flip side. They could sell cheap products and then premium offerings for those people feeling fancy, you know, they want to, you know, blow some cash, you know. And they've done just that. I mean, they've created... Xiaomi is launched in China right now, only in China, only sadly. the all new Xiaomi Mi Master Smart TV with mini LED technology, 8K resolution, and obviously are essentially an extreme commemorative edition because Xiaomi loves extreme technology, because why not? That's probably what made you the fourth biggest phone maker in the world and probably number one at smart TVs and stuff. Anyways. So that's not really something to drive home to, but Xiaomi has probably released this really new, cool, super high-end TV. This is stuff that you don't, I mean, Samsung's already launched it. This $7,200 TV, this is the Mi Master Smart TV. It's 82 inches, there are two 82-inch models. The Mi Master TV is pretty much... they're 82 inches in size, have based on mini LED technology, more than OLED. There's mini LED, which is lucrative. 8K resolution, 960 light control zones. Yikes, that's a lot of brightness. So you blow flames all over, it'll still have light where it's needed, and then it'll switch off light where it's not needed. You know, you get the point. If you've been following TVs, you know how these light zones are. It's quite 960 is quite a lot. It has 120 hertz refresh rate, which is an interesting trend in high-end TVs these days, especially from Samsung and LG and stuff. With motion estimation, motion compensation, or MIMIC image smoothing technology, 98% coverage of the DCI P3 color spectrum, and a built-in media player, 4 gigabytes of storage, and 4 gigabytes of RAM. That's what most smart TVs come with, right? 4 gigabytes of storage. 4 gigabytes of RAM and 256 gigabytes of storage, 5G built-in, which is cool. I mean, if you're putting this next to an apartment window, you should be able to stream videos at 4K. So, good option, pretty much. And gigabit LAN port and HDMI 2.1 ports. And then there's a second version of the master TVs that's only 4K resolution and 120 hertz display. 120 hertz refresh rate. Decent enough for next gen gaming, and can do HDMI 2.1. Dolby Vision is support out of the gate, and has a MediaTek chipset, 4 gigabytes of RAM and 64 gigabytes of storage. Can you think of a smart TV that comes with 64 gigabytes of storage out of the gate? I can't think of one. It's a really good value. So the 82-inch 8K variant of the master TVs starts at 50,000 yuan renminbi, which is roughly $7,300. And then the cheaper 4K model is 10,000 yuan renminbi, which is $1,400-ish, $1,500 approximately. So good value for money for a very premium TV. And it's very luxurious. It's like the bigger 82-inch 8K model has like speakers on the side, so it's a truly premium TV, and you get 5G connectivity. I don't know what you're going to do with 5G on a TV. If you put it next to an apartment window, and 5G coverage is growing in China day by day, they can do it. So it makes sense in China, pretty much. If you place it by the apartment window, it'd probably pick up a signal and let you stream 4K content. I don't know what... it doesn't say what streaming services have 4K content for China, but that should not be a problem if you live in China. I mean, the bigger services, IQE, Tencent, Video, they all stream at 4K, so that's not a problem. And you can supply your own media via USB, so that's not really a problem, really. Oh, and if you're environmentally conscious with your TV, this panel, the 8K model, will consume up to 700 watts, so keep that in mind if you're buying this TV. So, it's a pretty high-end TV. And it's the Mi Master smart TV, so it's kind of interesting. They already sell like pretty basic smart TVs on the world. I mean, it'd be lovely if they launch the Mi Master smart TVs in other countries. These would be pretty ballsy smart TVs that I think a high-end TV consumers would want to buy. A lot of Chinese TV makers are coming out with pretty premium smart TVs. TCL has good options. TCL is probably the only good one that I can think of, aside from all the smartphone brands, you know, Xiaomi and Huawei and all that kind of stuff. Xiaomi probably still makes the best sort of smart TVs from pretty much the smartphone makers. Or you could say Xiaomi pretty much makes good good ecosystem gear, pretty much, compared to all the other smartphone makers like Oppo, Vivo, Realme, Huawei. I mean, those are coming out with their own their own IoT smart lifestyle gear, but Xiaomi leads in that segment. Then it starts at the trend, and it's the leader in this. It knows how to make other categories of products, unlike Oppo, pretty much. Oppo's planning to launch its own smart TVs. God knows how good they will be. I mean, Xiaomi pretty much is the king in this regard. So that's all I'm going to say as a Mi fanboy. Really good TVs, though. I mean, if you got a lot of money, go buy them, really. Or else, if you live outside China, go get a Samsung. They're also good value for money. So that's the podcast. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. And obviously, we'll obviously drop an episode tomorrow. And this Friday, hopefully, we will probably start another podcast series separate from this. and it'll be a little different. We're not going to talk about technology. It'll probably just me talking about things and reviewing things, all sorts of things. So if you already love my voice, subscribe to that other podcast that I'll drop on Friday. You'll find it on this Friday, hopefully. So yeah, that's the podcast. Thank you for listening. Subscribe. Till tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Ciao. Have a great day.